Hello, and welcome to our Secular Overeaters podcast series, where you'll hear from speakers who have found recovery from food and other addictions without God. For additional information, go to secularovereaters.org. And now let's get to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Secular Overeaters Accountability Buddy Workshop. Hello, my name is Shirley. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. This event is sponsored by Secular Overeaters and is not an official OA event. Therefore, attendees are free to mention non-OA resources. Now, we're going to hear from four members who will share for up to 4 minutes each on their experiences with accountability buddies. They will cover first how they found each other and how they communicate and how often and how long. They will also talk about what they focus on and talk about with their buddies and the ground rules and boundaries. We'll start with Layla, then Alice will speak, Eric, and then we'll end with Esther. So, Layla, you're up first.
Hi, everybody. I'm Layla, compulsive overeater in Washington, D.C. I've been in OA about a year. I attended another accountability workshop maybe 8 months ago, and I connected with a few people on there. I would say four. I quickly found that three of them were not a good match for me. I really needed someone to be daily in touch with me. And for some people, that's not possible. No judgment on them. But I kind of needed that accountability, so I found somebody who could do the whole daily connection. She is in South Africa, so we have a big time difference. We connect via WhatsApp, and we talked once, and we decided that what things we would cover. So a lot of people in OA do the whole AEIOU, which is like abstinence, you know, exercise, this, that. I'm sure you guys have heard of it, or somebody else will talk about it. But we decided to do something different. So what we normally do is we write feeling, like F for feeling, what we're feeling that day. And a lot of times it's multiple words because, you know, you start out, you know, one way and then could be like 10 different other feelings throughout the day. And then we write mindfulness, nutrition, and movement. And instead of just saying like yes to abstinence, we kind of have a 1 to 5 scale. That's just kind of what we came up with, because you could technically be abstinent, but, you know, was your nutrition really like on point? So we kind of rate 1 is the lowest, 5 is like, you know, ideal. You're building like new habits for, like I said, mindfulness, nutrition, and movement. And then we do 3 things we're grateful for, 3 wins for that day, and then 3 affirmations. And we kind of move it the way, like personally, these days I'm working on body positivity. So I try to write something positive about a body part that I'm like a little self-conscious about, like my thighs or, you know, whatever. It does feel sometimes like a task or a duty, but it's nice because it keeps us accountable to do it. Sometimes when we're lazy, we'll do like a voice instead of typing it, because you can do that in WhatsApp. And then over time, yeah, we've missed some days, but because we both know that we're both pretty accountable, it's not like we miss a week. It could be a day or two, but we both are at a place where that kind of trust has been built and it's safe. And we're like, okay, you know, one day is fine. And we're more compassionate towards each other. I think at the beginning, it's kind of, it's like dating. I guess you're going to have to pick whoever who suits you. Yeah, but I have also other accountability buddies and who I met through my local OA groups. And I do readings with them. Not every day, you know, when I can, and we share on the reading, and I send my food to my sponsor. I send my food to my sponsor, what tools I use, and then what my food plan is for tomorrow. So that's kind of what I do. It's worked. I don't have a long streak of abstinence. I think I've had 60 some days, but I definitely am better in my stinking thinking, as they say. I don't necessarily fix it before, but I notice it during most of the time nowadays, or shortly after, and I quickly make amends. I think I covered all the areas and the questions that they send me. So, yeah. Is there anything else I should add?
No, I think you did a great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alice, are you ready?
Hello. Yes, hi. I'm Alice, compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And I just checked with my accountability buddy, who is Shirley, who is leading this, if it's okay that I reveal her name, because I wasn't sure if this is, and she said it's okay. So thank you. Okay, so we met several years ago before the pandemic in a regular OA meeting in Montclair. And I remember connecting with Shirley because I loved her soft white hat. And I talked to her about it after the meeting. And a couple of years ago, after we had been supportive to each other on the phone, Shirley asked if I would be her gratitude buddy after explaining what it was. Accountability buddy, sorry. And I was touched and honored. It felt like someone was noticing me as somebody that would be worthy of taking their innermost gratitudes. It was so lovely. So we've been doing it for a couple of years now. And what we do is we text each other every day with three things we are grateful for. And I like to think that, and I've told her this, that Shirley is a much deeper thinker than me. You know, I will tend to say grateful for, I changed it to graces because I like the word graces because it feels like things that are good in our lives. I will say number one, pickles. Number two, the new pink lipstick I got. Number three, the cat is crawled up next to me. And Shirley will have a much wider, more thoughtful arc. You know, it will be the dinner that her husband graciously made for her, you know, with the time he took to purchase the stuff and, you know, not just one word. So the gift of this is that I have actually learned to think more like that. So now reading Shirley's every day, and I admire her. I just really admire her, like her work ethic, her yoga ethic. I am so grateful to have her gratitudes on my phone. And so now instead of saying pickles, right, I might just say the chance we had to go to a farm today to get the fresh pickles. And our teenager, who's can be a big handful with different trauma-informed behaviors, like that we actually had peaceful time there and, you know, fun, like without drama, you know, so I am doing the bigger picture now too. We try to keep doing it, even if one of us is traveling or on a road trip. And it really does keep you grounded to keep doing that. And by the way, I'm not sure how many minutes I'm talking, so just tell me when my time is up, please. We've now even met for walks in person. We try to maybe once a week near a pond near us. We went even on a labyrinth meditative walk once. We even went into the city once, but our friendship has deepened through this. I did not know Shirley as deeply. And I think sharing your graces and gratitudes, of course, because I've never been a sponsor. That must be how a sponsor feels like, to really know someone, they trust you and you trust them.
Gentle reminder, Alice.
Okay. Just one more thing. And that is, I think that doing it has made us both better women, and also that we acknowledge that we got each other's lists. Like that was one of the things in the beginning. Shirley said, can you just put like a heart or something so I know that you received it and saw it. Thank you for letting me share this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alice. You know, the only thing I want to say is I don't think it's a good idea to make the facilitator cry. So, but next up, we have Eric, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks, Eric.
Hello, Eric, compulsive reader. Others have mentioned their length of absence, which I don't typically talk about, but I've been absent since the first of the year, and I came back to SO in July of last year. And and what drew me to it originally is when you go to the website, there's so much focus on what works. There's so much like tab after tab is what actually helps compulsive overeaters. So when I heard about an accountability buddy, I thought, well, there's more of that, more of what works. And so I signed up for the workshop, and I met my accountability buddy, which I don't talk to every day. I have a sponsor that I talk to nearly every day, and I have a recovery circle that I speak with weekly. So I have a kind of a vast, well, to me, vast recovery team. But I do exchange with my accountability buddy regularly, and I was drawn because, like me, but there's in, I don't know how it is for, but in a lot of the men in the program were recovering alcoholics who put on weight when they got sober and have lost weight like once in their life. And I don't mean to be dismissive. I mean, their third tradition, that applies to them. But I went on my first diet when I was 8, and my weight went up and down in elementary school. My weight went up and down in junior high school and high school and in college. So I've lost 50, 75 pounds, 6, 7, 8 times in my life. So I was drawn to my accountability buddy because his story was closer to mine. And that, so that helped me. Contact my sponsor, I talk about done eating for the day. That is a common one. I say, you know, it's 8 o'clock in Central Time. I've eaten 3 satisfying meals today, and I'm done eating. And that really seems to just doing that seems to put more skin in the game for me. Just saying that. When I'm on a date, the other night I was at a restaurant, which is away from my actual food plan that I keep, in my journal. It's easier at home to eat what's in the cabinet or what's in the refrigerator. But when you open up the triptych at the restaurant and you go into, like, you hear the trumpets of the angels for a few minutes, draw you away from your serenity. Anyway, contacting an accountability buddy about these sort of things seems to me like relapse prevention. I'm saying I'm at a restaurant. There are 30 things on this menu I'd like to eat, but I'm gonna select the 31st thing, that my 31st favorite thing on this menu. And that too seems to I have skin in the game of staying in recovery. And that certainly helps me. I think the whole accountability buddy thing is because in the disorder I was raised in, I isolated a lot. And I am an escape artist. I am. You think you're good at escaping?
Gentle reminder, Eric.
Okay, cool. That was quick. I am an escape artist. I'm an inveterate escape artist. The Irish goodbye and the ghosting people. I invented that before it was even a phrase. And accountability buddy is a way to reintroduce yourself back to the human race. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Eric. Appreciate that. Now we'll hear from our final speaker, Esther.
Hi, thanks. So I'm mostly going to talk about boundaries because that's been the least intuitive thing for me. So the main thing to start with is, what do you need help being accountable for with? For things like food, it's kind of a bit more intuitive on whether or not it's okay to talk about, but there are some things that affect your food that can be more emotionally heavy that people may or may not be comfortable being accountable, helping you be accountable for. And I've run into issues with this. For example, an accountability buddy pointed out to me that an issue I was having unrelated to food was causing, or not directly related to food, was causing me to screw up more with food. So then I assumed they would be okay helping me be accountable for it. And that was not the case. So really the overarching point with all of this is just to ask if things are okay and not to assume. The next thing would be, what do you want to happen if your buddy thinks you're doing something harmful or unhealthy, or generally has a suggestion about what you're doing? Sometimes these things could be helpful, like pointing out a pattern that's contributing to having trouble meeting their goals. But also, we all have competing definitions of health and different things that are good and bad for us. And we want to make sure we're not forcing our goals on anyone, but you don't want to go too far in the other direction either and just be afraid to point out a pattern that might help them to hear. So again, a good cautious way is just to ask, do you think this XYZ is harmful or contributing to having trouble meeting your goals? And it's also a good idea to define things that you're not okay with them bringing up in advance. Like, for example, I'm not okay with someone else bringing up my weight, even if they think it's unhealthy. Next, can you go to this person for emotional support? If so, it's a good idea to discuss topics that are okay and not okay to talk about, anything that's triggering. And again, if you're not sure, just ask. This is also one that I found changes the most, although all of these things can change, because when people are struggling more, sometimes they may become not okay with helping you with emotional support. So that comes to the next point, which is, make sure you both feel safe communicating as soon as it happens if something crosses a boundary or the boundary changes. So two things in my experience that contribute to issues with this is, one person feels like the other, like it's the end of the world if they don't help the other person. So it's really important that you both have other people to go to and you communicate that to each other so no one feels like they have to. And you also both need to have confidence in each other that if you bring something up, no one's going to get mad at you and it'll just be heard and you could discuss it. And the last thing is, what do you want to happen when one of you screws up? What works for you that encourages you to be accountable? For me personally, I don't need people to say it's okay. I don't need people to say it's not okay. I need people to ask why. And that's why I was drawn to my accountability buddy in the first place, because she was the first person to help me in my gradual road to getting better with my eating, to ask when I binged, why did you do that?
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. That really brings me to the end of the list. So I'll end it there. Thanks.
Thanks for that share, Esther. Thanks so much, Alice and Eric as well. I appreciate those shares. So the next component of our presentation is set aside for questions and answers and shares. We have very little time, but that's okay. So we'll use the raise hand function and I'll call on you when it's your turn. You can share your own experience or if there's a question that hasn't been answered yet. So We're going to set the timer for 2 minutes each so more people have time to participate. And Jenny, of course, is the timekeeper. Who has a question about accountability buddies or would like to share an experience?
AJ has her hand up.
Hi, my name is AJ. I'm a recovering compulsive eater and food addict in North Carolina or wherever I am. And what I got out of the workshop today, as I said in my post in the chat, is that the work I'm doing with my accountability buddy is pretty well working. I came to the workshop to see if there were any ways that we needed to improve, and I just don't see that. We exchange emails about every week to 10 days. I'm also in a recovery circle. I have a sponsor, and and I come to these meetings almost every day. But I love the fact that she and I, she's like across the country from me, and I've just gotten to know her really well, and I really like that relationship. It's looser than some of the accountability buddies I've heard here today. Thank you.
So thank you, everyone, for coming today. A special thank you to Alice, to Layla, to Eric, and to Esther for sharing their experiences. And the rest of our team here for your service in putting on this workshop.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to support our efforts, please visit secularovereaters.org and consider making a donation.